debt of love that we owe. And my goodness, what debt there is that we owe unto the Lord for His goodness and His grace given unto us. And this morning, I want to try to give you a message along the line of the cross of Calvary. I asked Brother Larry to sing that song as the last song this morning, because we're going to be dealing with the glory of the cross and the place called Calvary. And there's not a better place for us as a believer. But when you lived in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the place that was called Golgotha, which is the Aramaic word for this place of the skull, it was not a place of beauty. It was not a place that you really thought much about. And it definitely was not a place that you wanted to go, because it was a place of terrible dying and the death of individuals. It was a place that was used for their, what we would call, their capital punishment. And there's where the thieves and the robbers and the murderers, it was there that they would take their trip to that place, knowing that when they left their place of incarceration, they would never go back. They had already told everybody they knew goodbye, because they knew there would not be another opportunity, because they were going to a place of death. But you and I this morning, we think about Calvary, and when we think of the cross, we smile. And we have joy in our heart because of that one man that went there and suffered for us, that we might have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And so this morning I want to, the best I can, to deal with this subject of the cross, or the glory of the cross. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. Of course, these incidences that we will read about this morning are covered in the Gospels, and I'm just using Luke as our text this morning. And we find that in these verses, we find in verse number 33 the word Calvary. A lot of people don't realize it and maybe are not aware of it, but this is the only place in the Bible that you will find the word Calvary. It's only used one time, and it's here, and it is a derivative, or it is it comes from the Latin word that we get the word cranium from. And of course, when you think about the cranium, you think about the skull, and it was a place of the skull. For in a distance, if you would look at that place that was called here in the scripture Calvary, it would have a resemblance of a human skull. And so therefore we find that Jesus went to Calvary for us. It wasn't a beautiful place. It was a place of salvation. Let's begin reading in verse number 26, and we'll read a few verses here this morning. And they led him away. They laid upon one Simon the Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. And they shall begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Reading through verse number 38. We could go on and read about the discussion of the repentant thief and how the Lord told him that he would be with him today. We could go on and read down through verse 46 through 49. Jesus dismisses his own spirit. We need to, and I believe it's very important that we understand that it was not the Roman soldiers that killed the Lord. It was not the crucifixion that killed our Lord and Savior. It was not the Pharisees and the Jews and those that people that are listed here. If we had time, we could go back and discuss every one of the groups of people that are there as the Lord goes toward Calvary and while he's there hanging on the tree. There's a number of people that are observing and watching the Lord die there upon Calvary. As I said a while ago, Calvary, this place is a place that's been visited many times. But there had never been anyone like this man called Jesus that was crucified on that place called Calvary. The attention of the world has been drawn to that place. The attention of mankind has put his eyes upon this little area of land that looks like a skull. They look upon it and they see three crosses there in the distance as they watched the Lord die and they watched those other men. But never a man like the Lord had been placed upon a cross, because Calvary and our Lord made a very vast change and a great difference in the life of mankind. Calvary was a place where was a place of cursing and is a place of blessing. The world is cursed if they do not come to him, but those that believe are blessed because of the salvation that he offers unto us. Calvary is a place where Jesus was cursed for our sins, but we are blessed because of his cursing. Calvary is where we see a man, where we see man at his worst, but we see God at his best. Thank God this morning for a place called Calvary. I've got a whole list of things here, and I want to read some of them, of what Calvary, what it does and what it states to us. Calvary is where man must come if he expects to be saved. We hear a lot today about people wanting to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody says they are going to heaven. But there's only one way of going to heaven, and that's by way of the cross. It's by way of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ there upon that place called Calvary. Calvary is where all of our hopes are centered, both for this world and the world that is to come. Calvary is where the Son of God died that sons of men might live forever as the children of God. Calvary is where the rich, royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for sinful mankind, and the judgment has been placed upon him because he was willing to go. The sin of the world was placed upon him who had no sin at all in his life. Calvary is where the blood of cleansing, we sing about it, where the blood of Emmanuel's veins was drawn from him, that you and I might have eternal life. Calvary is where the Savior died, and thank God salvation was born. Calvary is where the Son of God was forsaken, that we may never be forsaken again. Hear the Lord as he was placed upon that cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord, recognizing and knowing that sinful man was putting him to death, and they didn't even realize what was taking place. They did not know what they were doing. Calvary is where we come with our darkness and we receive the light of the gospel that we might have life eternal. Calvary is where we bring our sorrows and our weaknesses and we walk away with the joy of the Lord in our heart. Calvary is where we come with all of our hell and we receive His heaven throughout all eternity. Calvary is where Isaiah 53 is given to us that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Calvary is where John 3:16 is certainly fulfilled. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Calvary is where the gulf between us and God has been spanned, and now we have the life eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary is a signpost to every man of every generation, and it points the way for man to have the road of life, that he can have eternity. Or yet if he rejects that road sign, he'll die without God and go to eternity of hell. Calvary is a place of suffering and shame and rejection and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a place of joy for you and I. It's a place where we can look upon and read about, and our hearts are thrilled when we hear what Jesus did, that I don't have to die without Him, but I can go to heaven. Every one of us this morning that are saved, we can rejoice, and our hearts should be rejoicing when we really think about what Calvary means to us and what Calvary means for the man, woman, and boy and girl that comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary is where the echoes the cry, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's just a few of things that the Scripture tells us that we can do and have because of the voices of the verses here that we have read about, and where it says when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucify Him. There they crucify Him. There is the place. They are the people. Crucify is the penalty. And Him is the person of our salvation. We ought to be able to rejoice this morning in the goodness of God for us. As we enter into this week now that is considered a very high and holy week as far as religion is concerned. But you know, it's more than just a week. Thank God, it's an eternity of rejoicing because of Him. It's more than just a few days between what we call Palm Sunday, which the world says is today, and now next Sunday is what they call Easter. I think a better term for it is Resurrection Sunday. It is the day that our Lord, after He suffers these things that we read about this morning, 3 days and three nights later in the heart of the earth, and there our Lord is laid, and He is not passed out. He's not swooned away. He is as dead as any person could ever be. And just as He dismissed His spirit, as I said a moment ago, it was not the Romans, it was not the Jews that killed Him. The Lord, on purpose, dismissed His own spirit. And there's nobody else that has ever done that. Now, there has been what we call suicide, but Jesus dismissed His spirit at a particular time, and by the way, it is at the right time, at a particular place, and it was there on Calvary. It is there that He dismissed His spirit and He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And so when He died on that afternoon, and He is taken to the tomb and He is buried, and a stone is placed in front of that site, and He is there 3 days and three nights, and you can't get anything out except 3 days, a day, a night, a day, a night, a day, and a night. And thank God for the resurrection at the dawning of a new day. And so we find here, He went to Calvary for you and I. And He does that in order that we might have a liberty and have an eternity with Him. No wonder the songwriter said, "Now my ransomed soul can sing of Calvary." That place that was dreaded, that place that was hated, that place that little children would look at and say, I don't ever want to go there. I don't ever have to experience that, as a place where adults would say, I want to make sure I live a right kind of life, that the Roman government don't send me to that place of Calvary. But we sing about going back to Calvary. We sing about the joys of what the Lord has done for us, because there He made a difference in what that word represented. It is the cross that makes the difference. It's He that died upon that old wooden thing called the cross that makes a difference in our life. He gives us light for darkness. He gives us good for evil. He gives us victory instead of defeat. He gives us success instead of favor. He gives us Christ's likeness. We can become like Him instead of being so self-centered and just worried about us. He gives us life for death, and thank God He gives us heaven for hell. You and I this morning, we are a blessed people because of that little word called Calvary. We are a blessed people because He was willing to go there. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us. You see, there's a difference between them and us. There's a difference between the world and the child of God. And here Paul says the preaching of the cross is to them foolishness. Oh, but to us, he says, which are saved by the power of God. To them it's foolish, but to you and I, it is salvation. It is joy. It is heaven. It is home. Brother Gallagher spoke this morning. A lot of churches are doing everything in the world just to draw people, but then they have no message for them. And what a sad thing that is. What a sad thing it is for to have a congregation of thousands of people, and they, when they come together, they may sing the same songs we sing, they may read some of the same scriptures we read, but they have no message for them. They have nothing except the power of positive thinking. And you can better yourself, and you can feel good about yourself, and you can do well, and things are just going on pretty good, when the scripture tells us that we're not doing very well. When we're without God, when we're without Him, we're without hope, and we have nothing to depend upon. But the difference in our lives is because somebody preached to us the gospel. Somebody took the Word of God and preached to us truth. Truth is Pilate even asked the question, what is truth? Well, the truth is found in this book, and when we deviate from that, then we have nothing to depend upon. We have nothing to go by. We have no standard to lift up, and there's no message to be given. For the preaching of the cross to the world, it is foolish. And all you've got to do, even in little country town, Madisonville, Kentucky, all you got to do is go out and tell people what you believe about the cross, and they're going to look at you and you're something out of the ordinary. You're the weird person. You're the holy joke. You're the one that's old-fashioned. But it does not change the effect of God's Word, that it is the preaching of the cross that brings salvation to mankind. It is at that cross we have the crossroad, really, of eternity. There at the cross, Jesus took my sin, thank God. He took my guilt, and He forgave me and cleansed me, and He justified. And the burden of sin has rolled away. Thank the Lord, we've been lifted of that burden because somebody was faithful to preach the Word of God. Somebody didn't give in to the pressures of the world and water it down and make it non-effective. Somebody preached the gospel to me. Somebody preached the gospel to you before me. Somebody preached the gospel as me, and others have preached the gospel over and over again, and it makes a change in our life, and it's all because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. At the cross, He clarified my purpose of life. Sometimes you get to thinking and say, what am I really here for? What is my purpose in living? Our world today is tottering to and fro, and most people of the world really don't know why they're here. Most people don't have any idea, any understanding of what's the purpose of life. They have been so brainwashed by society. They have been so brainwashed by education. They have been so brainwashed by psychology and sociology, and every other thought that you can think of is out there and trying to tell us, here's why we're really here. No, we're really here to become a child of God. We are born into this world, and Jesus said that God's not willing that any would perish. And the only way they will not perish is because of the foolishness of preaching. And so Paul had it right, and Paul had the understanding. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so we must continue to uphold the preaching of the cross. At the cross, he clarified our purpose. Life really begins with him. At the cross, my eternity, thank God, was secured. And I'm safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eternity has been secured. Our fears have been relieved, and our heart forever is his. At the cross, he is the object of our glory. He is that salvation individual. At the cross, we find the symbol of God's amazing grace, that God loved us so much that he would give his only begotten Son. At the cross, we find our justification. The word justification is a long word, but it's a word that has a real easy meaning. It just means I have been put in a place as if I had never sinned. He has cleansed me. He has put upon my unrighteousness, he has put upon me his righteousness. I have been justified. I've been pronounced innocent. I'm no longer guilty of my sin. I'm no longer guilty of what my past is, because he took that to Calvary, and there he shed his blood for that. And so therefore I am pronounced as an innocent individual, pure, spotless. The pardon has been given, and I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. At the cross, our life has been changed. At the cross, we find the world is crucified unto us, and we unto the world. At the cross, we find that we are a child of God headed toward heaven's home. That we are headed to a place that is more than what the world could ever offer to us. It is a place that is more than what the world could ever explain to us. Heaven, Paul says, we haven't even begun to imagine what it's all about. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for you and I. And it's all because we go back to that place called Calvary. As dreadful a place as it was, now it is a dear place because of what he did for us and what it has become. We should never forget, as a believer, we should never forget where we came from. I'm not talking physically where we came from. I came from Crittenden County, Marion, about 50 miles from here. That's where I came from. I'm not talking about that kind of coming from. I can go back to Marion and I can see people that I have known. I can remember different things that I did. I had a good friend this week that was buried, passed away and buried, and I knew the family well, and he and I were in high school together. And we worked together at a local grocery store. And I sent a message to his brother that I guess has been crippled from his birth, and I knew him well, and I sent the message, and if I could have anyway gotten to the funeral home, I would have this week, but Wednesday was not a good day, and it was church day, and so I didn't get to go. I sent a message to his brother, and I told him that we, and they all know we're good friends, and he said, yeah, well, he said, best I remember my brother telling about a Santa Claus incident. So you go back where you came from, all of a sudden everybody remembers some things you don't remember. And I said, no, not me, I don't think so. But that's where we come from physically. I'm talking about we should never, as a child of God, we should never forget where God found us spiritually. We were lost. We were wandering in the wilderness of sin and terrible ideas and hearts and lives. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. The Apostle Paul talks about his past life, never forgetting where he came from. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice the next words. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious? Paul never forgot what he was before the Damascus Road meeting with Jesus Christ. Paul says, I was a blasphemer. Paul says, I was a persecutor. There was no greater persecutor to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ than this man called Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul by the grace of God. So Paul tells this young boy, Timothy, he says, this is what I used to be, but I thank God that he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious to people. But the next words of that passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy 1, he says, but I obtained mercy. Praise the Lord this morning for the mercy of God that found us where we were in our sin, the way we were, and we had nothing to give to God except I'm guilty. And Paul says here, he says, but I obtained mercy. And then he says, because I did it in ignorantly and in unbelief. Those things that we did before our salvation, many times we do those ignorantly. We curse God and we don't realize that it's a sin to blaspheme our God. Sometimes we do things that would injure people that just simply because they're Christians and we're not. And Paul said, I did all that. He said, but I did it in unbelief and ignorantly. He said, oh, but I found mercy. We should never forget one day God showed us mercy. One day God showed us the understanding that God is a merciful God. He's not hovering over us just waiting to zap us, but he's a God of mercy that's desiring us to come to him that we might have life. And Paul said, I obtained mercy. One day you obtained mercy. You become a Christian. Become a believer. Become a child of the King. He says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I don't want to ever forget where God found me. Sometimes we get down the road of life a few years, and we're a Christian for a number of years, and we really forget how bad off we were. We really forget how far away from God we were. And we get to thinking, boy, I'm doing pretty good. God's blessing me and everything's well. I'm just doing okay, God. I don't need you as much as I used to. And then every once in a while he'll remind us, yeah, but here's where I found you. Here's what you were. Now talk to me about your goodness. This is where I found you. And I should have just turned my back and walked off and said, I don't need you, I don't want you. But Paul says, I found mercy. So we should never forget where we came from. The cross of Calvary should remind us. Secondly, we should never forget what we are. Guess what? we're still not much. We're just a sinner saved by grace.
Well, if a Christian don't live that way. A Christian lives anyway. This old flesh gets the business and the power over him.
We're just a sinner saved by grace. But I guarantee you can't do it and enjoy it like we used to.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I wish I could live up to just a portion of what Paul was. But this morning, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, because of Calvary, you are what you are by the grace of God. You're saved. You could be lost. You could be going to hell. You could be dying without God. But you are saved and you are what you are by the grace of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If we've got something to brag about this morning, it's not about what Lawrence has done. It's not about you put your name there. It's about what he has done. Let us glory in the Lord. If we're going to rejoice, if we're going to glory, then it ought to be because of what the Lord has done. Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, unto me. Boy, I have trouble reading this verse and understanding Paul. Because we hold Paul way up here, and rightfully so. Probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. One of the greatest preachers that ever preached. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. And in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul said, God has blessed me and given me the business to preach to the Gentiles. And he said, I'm the least of the least. Paul said, I shouldn't have been put in this position because I'm nothing. And you and I this morning, you know what we are? We're really nothing. We are just what we are by the grace of our Lord. Galatians 6:14, again Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Romans 12:3, Paul says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according. Paul said, we don't think too highly of ourselves. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians this morning? They just think they're better than they are. They've climbed the ladder. They're up here a whole lot higher than you and I. They're just better than anybody else. And they know it, and they want everybody else to know how good they are. Paul said, we ought not to think too highly of ourselves. Because remember where God found us. Remember where we were. So we should never forget where we came from. We should never forget where we are. We should never forget who He is. He's the Lord. He's God. God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God says, I am that I am. That just means I'm Him. I'm who you talk about. I'm who you think about. John said, John says, He must increase, I must decrease. Psalm 72 says, and blessed be the glorious name forever, and that let the whole earth be filled with His glory. One day that will happen. Jude 25 says, unto the only wise God and Savior, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So don't forget who He is. He's God. He's not some little figure up there in heaven that we call on when we ring the bell when we need something. He's God. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the giver of life. So remember where we came from. Remember where we are. Remember who He is. Don't ever forget what He has done.
And we've covered that. Don't ever forget what he has done. Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead." You hath he quickened. The word means made alive. I've used that illustration 100 times. Have you ever pulled a fingernail into the quick? That's what we call it. You know what? It lets us know we're alive. I've got one here every month. Lets me know. I cut it off and it still bothers me. And then I know I shouldn't have done that. Because it comes to life. And the Bible says he hath quickened us. He's given us life who were dead. We wasn't in bad shape. We were dead. We wasn't sick. We were dead. We were just as dead as a corpse that lays here in front of this church of an individual that has died. We were dead spiritually. And buddy, we're not going to come to life unless he quickens us. You can call that anything you want to. I call it salvation. He's quickened us. And then lastly, I wrote this right at the end of Sunday school. Number 5, we should never forget where we're going. I'm going to heaven. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to heaven. And the reason I'm going is because one day he walked the path to that word that's only used one time in Scripture but has changed the destiny of multitudes of millions of people. He walked to Calvary. And I'm going to heaven because he went there. And if you're going to heaven, you got to go by way of the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. We have a blessed message to tell to the world. And that message is at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And there at the cross, my burdens are rolled away. Because I had a Lord, I had a Savior. I had a God in heaven that was willing to offer his only begotten Son. And his Son gave his life on Calvary. Let's stand together this morning.